Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Harper Bennett, here with Ruby Sturt. And Ruby, I want you to picture this. It's 8:15 a.m. on a Tuesday. You are sitting in a child-sized plastic chair. Across from you is a massive, usually faux wood, big green table. And staring back at you are eight professionals holding thick manila folders with your kid's name on them.
I know that table so well. My parents sat at that exact table for my siblings Sam and Tosh for about 20 years. And the tension in that room? It's because of a fundamental mismatch in expectations. I always tell parents, you walk into that room ready to play hearts, and you sit down to find out the district is playing poker.
Hearts versus poker. Okay, I love that. Unpack that for me. How are they playing poker?
Well, when you play hearts, you're sharing. You're passing cards. You're collaborating. You're leading with emotion and vulnerability because this is your child. You want to say, Sam loves dinosaurs and struggles with loud noises. But the school district is holding their cards to their chest. They are managing budgets, liability, and resource allocation. They are playing a strategic game of poker. And if you don't realize the game has shifted from parent to advocate, you will get bluffed out of the services your kid needs.
Right, because the advocate knows the rules of the casino. Which brings me to the ultimate pre-game strategy. You've got this cheat code for the IEP, the Individualized Education Program, that I wish every parent knew about.
Yes. You email the case manager and say, please provide a draft of the IEP and any new evaluation reports 48 hours before our meeting.
Wait, exactly 48 hours? Why that specific window?
Because 48 hours is enough time for you to actually read the data without the pressure of eight people staring at you. But it's close enough to the meeting that the district actually has the draft finished. If you just show up to the big green table cold, they slide a 30-page document across to you, point to a line and say, sign here. You are entirely reactive. When you get it 48 hours early, you can take a highlighter, sit at your kitchen table, maybe with a mechanical typewriter clacking away in the background if you're me, and find the gaps.
You go from reactive to proactive. And speaking of proactive, that leads right into the best way to open that meeting. Before they even open those manila folders, you drop the parent vision statement.
The vision statement, yes. It's essentially 3 to 4 sentences that you read aloud, out loud, right at the start. It grounds the entire meeting in the child's humanity before the data takes over.
Exactly. Not, he needs occupational therapy. It's, our vision for Leo this year is that he will learn to navigate the cafeteria independently so he can sit with his friends. You're putting the person before the policy.
But once you read that vision statement, the policy does kick in. And Harper, this is where the jargon trap swallows people whole. You get hit with acronym soup. FAPE, LRE, LEA, BIP. It is designed to be intimidating.
Oh, the acronym soup. As an occupational therapist, I used to dish it out before I realized how terrifying it is. But as an advocate, my favorite strategy for this is playing the dumbest person in the room. When they say, we feel a paraprofessional in the LRE would be too restrictive, you just stop the meeting. You look them dead in the eye and say, I'm so sorry. Can you explain what LRE means in the context of Leo's actual day?
Force them to translate the policy into a practical story. I do this in council meetings all the time. If they can't explain it simply, it usually means the goal isn't specific enough. Which is how you end up with teachers saying things like, well, he seems to be doing fine.
He seems to be doing fine. The 8 most dangerous words in special education.
They really are. Because fine is not a data point. Fine does not trigger support services. You have to pivot them to SMART goals. Specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. You push back and ask, what does fine look like on a clipboard?
Right, you translate it. Fine becomes, Leo will independently initiate a peer interaction during recess on 4 out of 5 observed days across a 2-week period. 4 out of 5 days. That is measurable.
4 out of 5 days. Exactly. Because if he only does it 2 out of 5 days, the data proves he needs the social skills group. But Harper, what happens when you have the data, you make the request, and the school district just flat out says, no, we don't have the staff for that?
That's when you deploy the absolute secret weapon of special education advocacy. The PWN.
Prior written notice.
Prior written notice. By law, if a school district refuses a request made by a parent for a child's educational program, they must provide prior written notice detailing exactly why they are refusing it, based on data. So when they say, no, we can't give him a one-on-one aid, you don't argue. You just say, okay, please put that refusal and the data you use to make that decision in the prior written notice.
It is amazing how quickly a no turns into a let's look at the budget again when they have to legally document their refusal. It forces accountability.
It really does. It takes the emotion out of it and puts it right back into the rules of poker. But, and I think this is where we have to land today, you only know what to ask for in that prior written notice if you know where you're going.
Which brings us right back to the parent vision statement, that 3-sentence anchor. Because advocacy isn't just about fighting for a paraprofessional or an extra 30 minutes of speech therapy. It's about building a bridge to the adult your child is going to become. If you lose sight of that vision, you just get lost in the paperwork.
Keep the vision. Play the cards. For Ruby Sturt, I'm Harper Bennett. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you next time.